The Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 8. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he answered them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them not to tell anyone about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after the third day rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." In the name of Jesus, amen. Anybody watching the Olympics? Some? It's over today. Comes and goes so fast. I mean, it's amazing to me to think about how between gold and silver and bronze, it can be seconds. I mean, it's amazing how good you can be at your sport and how hard you've trained for years and walk home with nothing. And yet, you're at the top of your skill sets. It's amazing to me. Anybody ever have dreams of being an Olympian? Anybody? Not me. I was never that into anything like that. I mean, think about the training that's necessary to hit it out of the park, so to speak. Well, in our gospel reading, we know that Jesus is training his disciples for great things. But it's really something to think about what we just heard and how it took place. We are told in Matthew's gospel that when Jesus asks the question, "Who do people say I am?" I mean, that's kind of a risky question, isn't it? I mean, talk about asking for some honest feedback. You know, who do people say I am? What do your friends think about me as your mom? You know, anybody want to ask that kind of a question? You know, I mean, Jesus is just putting himself out there. Be like me saying, "So what do you think about me as a pastor? Tell me the truth," you know. And so he gets the responses, "Yeah, some are saying this, some are saying that." But then, you know, Jesus, of course, his interest is in what his disciples think about him. And in Matthew's gospel, you know, Peter, like, hits it out of the park. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Whoa, like, hit it out of the park, Peter. I mean, that's like a gold medal performance on confessing Jesus as Savior, right? But then what happens? Jesus hones in on exactly what the Messiah is about, telling his disciples what it means to be the Christ, what it means to be the Messiah, and what it means to be rejected and then put to death. And Peter says, "Oh, no, 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 don't do that. That's not good." Only to foul out. I mean, isn't it amazing? He hits out of the park and then he crashes and burns. Talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. "Get behind me, Satan," is the Lord's response next to Peter. Wow. Golly. And it wasn't just about Peter either. You suppose all the disciples struggled with confessing Christ in one moment and then falling on their faces the next? And that's your life and my life too, isn't it? I mean, we confess Jesus. We just did it in the Apostles' Creed again. And then we fall on our faces, failing to confess who he is in our homes or where we go to work or school or among each other. Boy, but this is just the way it is. This is what happens to us. We certainly are different. We're made new. But we crash and burn. And we don't like it. It's just that it's the way our life goes. Sometimes we go for quite a while thinking, man, I'm staying true. I'm wanting to follow and walk close to the Lord. And then, man, what happened? How did I get lost? What's going on? Where am I? Who am I? What's going on? But that's our life. The good news is that we have someone who laid down his life and knows what God's will is for us. Our meditation this morning is titled, Jesus, Our Accountability Partner. We have someone who's closer to us than a coach, and a coach he is. But this is the truth of our Savior. He loves us. He loves you. He loves your life. He loves all the aspects of what make you and me up into who and what we are as people. And he knows what God's will is for every and all aspects of your life and my life. And he will help us. And he does that because he laid down his life for us. And it's through us that God has willed to get his message out into the world. We studied Ephesians with a few of us in between services for a while, last fall into January. And it really just stuck to me how Paul explains in, I think it's chapter 3 of Ephesians. You know, he's spending time talking about yay God and yay church for believing in the good news, the gospel. But then Paul starts talking about what it means to trust in God and what it means to live in all the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. And why is this so important to Paul? Because Paul says this. He says that through the church, that is through you and through me, the manifold wisdom of God is revealed through you in your daily life. Some of it's mission. Probably most of it is ministry, if you're always working with people who believe. But in your daily life, you are revealing the manifold wisdom of God. That's why this is important to Jesus. I mean, we have maybe some of our favorite events. I used to be a downhill alpine skier until I got knee surgery on both of my knees. Still did a little bit afterwards. But some of you might have your favorite event for the Olympics. But keep in mind, God has you in a lifetime of mission and ministry, where through you, you reveal the manifold wisdom of God in your marriages, in your parenting, in your friendships, in your activity here, in your activity in your neighborhood. You know, your neighborhood is your mission and ministry field. Are you praying for your neighbors? Do you ever have a chance to visit with them or share the gospel with them? This is your life and my life, where we also crash and burn on a regular basis. We confess Christ and then we take a pound of flesh from our kids. Or we get after the spouse. Or we just want to give up and have self-centered, self-focused time to too much. And yet Jesus cares about us. He cared about his disciples. He was actually carrying them through a very important process of understanding who he is and what he was about. And Peter got lost in the weeds and Jesus wasn't afraid to hold him accountable. and get him back on course. Wasn't afraid to say, on this confession, the confession you gave, I will build my church. And now, Peter, get back on it. The Messiah dies. The Messiah is rejected by the religious establishment. But it's through that salvation comes. What's really cool about what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me is he lived our lives perfectly in every detail. He carried it all out flawlessly. And then he died on the cross in our place. He earned the gold. And no one could compete but God in flesh and blood for that prize. And he earned the gold for us. And then, in the waters of baptism, in the hearing of the gospel, today in the meal that he gives to us again, he puts the gold medal on us. Luther called this in his theology the beautiful exchange. For all the ways that we have failed, he took it upon himself. And so now, for all the ways that he has prevailed and earned gold in every and all the events of mission and ministry in your life and my life, we get the gold. I mean, I say that's not fair, thank God. That God isn't fair. But it's a beautiful exchange. You and I wear the gold because of the cross event that Jesus faced for us. And it's through that one sacrifice that Jesus laid out that we have an accountability partner who loves us and cares about us and wants to carry out through us the manifold wisdom of God. I scratch my head even now and think, what does all that mean in my ordinary life where it just seems like I'm just trying to live out my faith and sometimes I think I win a few and lose a few and a lot of times it doesn't look like I can't even figure out what the score is. The good news is that the gold is ours. The victory is ours because of what Jesus has done. And he's with us. Even more than holding us accountable, Jesus takes the credit for our failures and gives us his gold. So wear it and celebrate that victory in the name of Jesus. Amen.